went all the way to the top of the corporate ladder, working for a Fortune 100 company, and, you know, becoming the creative director. That was the dream. You know, that was like what I saw in the movies. And I was like, man, I'm here and I don't feel happy. Yeah, I feel like it's a grind. And I look in the mirror and I'm fat and I'm miserable. And I got one kid with a second on the way. And, you know, God works in mysterious ways.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points! Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Eric Cabral. Eric, brother, man, how are you today?
Fantastic, man. So happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Dude, I'm excited to have you. We connected on LinkedIn. I'm Insta friend as far as I'm concerned because I love what you do. I love how out loud you are online. I love your presence. I love your content. I love your podcast. So I'm just honored to have you here today, dude. This is going to be fun.
I appreciate it, man. I have to honor you for your skill sets because I often complain on LinkedIn about how terrible it is in terms of like direct messaging people. And I'm always throwing out there, this is the weird universe thing, bro, that happened. I put out a piece of content and I said, hey, everyone out there who's DMing, it's spam. Stop spamming people and talking about yourself. And I did this whole post about it. And then shortly after, you responded. And I was like, hey, thanks, man. Did you respond to my post? You're like, what post are you talking about? It's like, it's the universe.
So cool. I was going to, let's skip the bio for it. Let's talk about that. So
yeah,
what do most DMs look like? And as a marketing pro, like what do most DMs look like and what should they look like?
It looks extremely, for lack of a better word, egotistical. Like they message you, and I'm sure 100% of people who are listening who use LinkedIn know that 99% of what they're getting in their box is someone that's just talking about themselves. Like they have no clue who you are. They've messaged you and 800 other people at the same time. And there's nothing personalized whatsoever. So I encourage people and I challenge us to think before we send automatic messages. You know, maybe there's another way to tee up the conversation by asking a question versus talking about yourself. Because just imagine, hey, it's exactly the same as somebody ringing the doorbell and them going, hey, I would love to sell you a new roof or a window or blah, blah, blah. And they start talking about all the benefits of their product or service. You're like, I'm just trying to eat a sandwich, man, and go to work. What are you doing? I don't need to hear your whole life story right now. That's what DMs feel like. There's nothing personalized whatsoever. No questions being asked. And I just want it to get better because they're really hurting the community and what's positivity that's building in LinkedIn because it's a really great platform for those who use it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I live on LinkedIn and I can't go a day without getting crazy automated DMs. And I kindly select the, it already has it ready for me. I just press a button and it says not interested. Mm-hmm. And then the lady today quite literally said, "Whoa, do you know anyone who is?" I was trying to be kind. I was trying to be, you know, formal here, but.
You're good on LinkedIn though. You're a prime example of how it should be done.
Definitely. Well, since we're on it, I mean, literally what I do is I don't take a single piece of education and let it go to waste. I treat it as an opportunity. So for example, I have guests on the show all the time. And if I'm having a guest on the show, it's very likely I'll listen to 2 to 3 interviews of them on other people's shows. So I don't just listen to the interview, take notes, call it a day. I listen to the interview, take notes, and I reach out to that host to thank them for hosting that interview. And I oftentimes ask that host for recommendations of other episodes I can listen to. Mm. So I can do research on my guest, but I can also build a relationship with the host. And let's be honest, I mean, we're business people. Part of doing that is getting on more podcasts myself and creating connections and relationships that do add business to me and that random person's life. So instead of just listening and moving on with my day, I never take in any piece of information, even like a YouTube video. I'll reach out to the person who put out the video. It takes me 30 seconds to give them 3 takeaways. And if they respond, awesome, let's talk. If they don't, took me 45 seconds. Just move on to the next one. So that's my philosophy, Eric.
Yeah, man. And it's good and effective. You know, it worked with me. You listened to some episodes and he said, "Hey, man, I loved this, this, and this. Any recommendations?" You're the only person that ever asked me that. So then it really challenges the host, who probably, you know, honestly, the majority, especially, you know, of our clients who we produce podcasts for, are doing the episodes and then set and forget, right? That's kind of how we designed it for them. But you challenged me to be like, "Dude, what episode should I listen to?" I'm like, "Oh, crap." I'm like, "Yeah, what's a conversation that I'm, you know," because these episodes and conversations happen weeks or months ago. Mm-hmm. So I had to think. I think I recommended to you the Family Guy, you know, the co-creator Mark Henteman, who was on my show, and he's a friend. And I was like, "Dude, listen to his show, because he talks about shit. He doesn't ever..." Can I swear on this podcast,
yeah, by the way? Shit.
I just did. Sorry. Might have to bleep that. But no, yeah, he... And then you were like, "Dude, that was amazing." And then, but I appreciated it. And then it created this. You know, now we are all here today and people are listening to the fruits of your labor.
Dude, awesome. And I appreciate that. But what we're doing is we're talking about creating a state change. So we all get these same automated stuff. We all have a similar day. Even an entrepreneur like yourself, there are certain tasks that are common, I imagine. And someone can come in and create a state change. Good or bad, at least shakes things up a little bit. So I think that's what we're talking about here. Eric, we just dove in. And the listener is probably like, "Who is this man? What are we talking about?" I wrote down like so much for your bio. I like put together like I don't know, man. I was doing research on you and I was like, "Holy shit." We can say shit on the show. "Holy shit, this man is up to so many things." So I need a cheat sheet for this one, guys. Eric is an entrepreneur with multiple businesses, partnerships, podcasts. He's the quintessential serial entrepreneur who spends much of his time helping others grow their businesses, brands, and reputation. Eric left corporate America after 20 plus years. We'll talk about that in a moment, and jumped headfirst into real estate investing in order to achieve financial freedom. The rest is really recent history. He's a partner in Renault Winery and Resort. He's a private investor. And I almost said investigator, private investor.
Private eye. That's exciting.
Private eye. And is now the founder of media agency On Air Brands, where they host a innovative networking and podcasting event, PodMax. And his team and him produce massive amounts of shows, many of which he hosts, including Entrepreneur Circle, Capital Hacking, Cashflow Ninja, and VaynerMedia's Chief Heart Officer Claude Silver Show, Emotional Optimism, Living in the Silver Lining. The last thing I wrote down, Eric, is you were featured on Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V's podcast. You've been featured on Bigger Pockets podcast. You've been featured on my podcast. And your show has brought on thought leaders, including James Altucher, Hal Elrod, David Meltzer, Jordan Harbinger, Randy Zuckerberg, and more. Lots of name dropping, lots of stuff. Have you ever had analysis paralysis? I'm a host, and I knew going into this that I might have analysis paralysis because I don't know where to start or where to go. So the easiest place to start is, dude, 20 plus years into corporate to completely pivoting and starting multiple businesses and being a private investor in real estate. And wow. So let's start there. Go back as far as you'd like, actually, Eric. Let's start on Eric as a child and what brought him to corporate America and what brought him out of corporate America.
Yeah, I did what I was told, and I did what a good boy should in middle-class America. You know, my parents were immigrants from the Philippines. I was born and raised in New York, and they just wanted me to go to college and get a great job, stay there for, you know, 30 years and collect my gold watch and set of Ginsu steak knives or whatever the heck I was supposed to get when I retired. And after I did that for over 20 years, like you said, now, you know, man, yeah, over 20 years, bro. But branding and marketing for now 25 years, man. I just celebrated the big 5-0, believe it or not, over the 4th of July weekend. And I cut my teeth. You know, I got my graphic design and marketing and branding chops and went all the way to the top of the corporate ladder, working for a Fortune 100 company and, you know, becoming the creative director. That was the dream. You know, that was like what I saw in the movies. And I was like, man, I'm here and I don't feel happy. Yeah, I feel like it's a grind. And I look in the mirror and I'm fat and I'm miserable. And I got one kid with a second on the way. And you know, God works in mysterious ways, you know, because during that time, the job that I was in, which, you know, on paper, I was very successful, you know, over six figures. Hey, man, we appreciate all the work you've done for us. You've turned our $500,000 business to a $2.5 million business in less than a year. Thank you very much. They're like, but we need you to not just lay off your entire team. We'll give you 3 months to do it. But then you lay yourself off. Shut the lights off and don't call us back. So that's what happened, man. And I was like, holy crap, now what do I do? And it just felt underappreciated. And it just felt like, what is this all for? And I'm making them millions of dollars. And what am I doing for myself? And I was like, if I could do this for them, why couldn't I do it for myself? So that's really what started the whole ball rolling then. Like, I got the confidence and you know, just on paper, I was like, when I put my resume together and I was looking, I got several job offers, really good ones, better than the job that I had. And it was going to require more of my time. And that's when I started to realize, oh man, I'm trading time for dollars. Mm-hmm. And I need to create value. And when I'm in the room, it's no longer about the money. It's about like how much value I provide in the conversation and in the community or whatever it is. So that started the whole ball rolling to like, start a business and become an investor, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
And we'll get into that in just a second. So you mentioned, I mean, 20 plus years and you see yourself getting chubbier and you're unhappy and you don't know where you're going with your life. I'm wondering, did you feel that way the whole 20 years or did that hit you one day? Because like, were you miserable moving up and just fighting through it? Or like, how did that transition happen?
I think it was pockets of happiness, Ben. Mm. You know, I have fond memories of hanging with friends and family and drinking and smoking and doing all the things that made sense at the time, right? Because I was single, I was living in New York City, and I was doing stupid things with my money, like renting a house in Princeton, New Jersey, and also renting a house in New York City on the Upper East Side. So I was like spending all my cash, not saving a dime. I was going into debt. And it was really just chasing something, like chasing happiness, success to me was monetary. It wasn't like purpose-driven, it wasn't mission-driven. All the things that I've discovered now as an entrepreneur, there's more to life than money. And once you achieve a certain level of success, you realize that. And especially when you have kids, man, that changes the game. I'm like, whoa, I need to be better, not just for myself, but for my family and for my wife and my growing family. So yeah, huge, man. A lot of lessons learned. I'm still a work in progress, brother.
We all are. It's huge. Yeah. We're all still works in progress. And that's why, Eric, I like to ask the dumbest questions ever, because I want to hear it from you, because everyone has a different way of defining these things. So what it sounds like, you were chasing all the what's and the things that people expected out of you, and you had pockets of happiness, but you weren't like fulfilled. You weren't fulfilled and driven and passionate. Like, now that you have discovered a whole new way, what really does light you up? Like, what does fulfill you? What is success?
Yeah, dude. It's truly getting up in the morning and owning my time, right? Because that's currency to me now. Now that I've turned 50, and as the road to get here, because I left corporate America and I was in my mid-40s. So that was like the midlife, you know, sort of just thinking of everything. It's not the midlife crisis. It was like a midlife opportunity, like to just change and to realize that if and when I jump into this endeavor, you know, whether it be real estate investing or starting a multimedia agency, it was going to be a lesson learned through a lot of failure. And then also, personal development and growth opportunity. I didn't realize, like, if anyone ever told me, Ben, if you told me, you know, 5-6 years ago, hey, Eric, you're going to leave corporate America, but you're going to have to work on yourself. You're going to have to improve. You're going to have a growth mindset. You're going to have an abundance mindset. I'm like, I don't want to do it. You know, it's a lot of work, man. Looking in the mirror, it's like tears shed and just a lot of work, man. Just peeling the layers back of all this nonsense that I grew up with, all this programming. Mm. I had to, you know, reprogram and reconstruct. Like I said, still working on till today, still discovering, you know, issues that I have that spill into, you know, my life and into my business, into my community. I'm like, oh, I need to fix that so that I am better for others.
I love that. It is a lot of work. And as you said, you're a work in progress. I like to joke that they call it work because it works. So let's talk about what's been working. So let's talk about two things. One, what is like super lighting you up about what you get to do today? And then what's like a weak point that you're either like working on or like, shit, I hate this, and outsourcing it. So let's talk about what's lighting you up. And then let's talk about what you're still kind of working on or trying to figure out.
Yeah, always, man. I'm always working on myself, and I'm always working on, you know, my psyche, you know, my mental health, my physical health. You know, I get up every morning, ideally at 5:30, you know, sometimes 6 o'clock. And I start right away. Les Brown always says the first 20 minutes of your day are so critical. Like, what you pour into your mental factory, as Jim Rohn calls it, is so important, because that sets the day. It primes your day. So I wake up and I meditate. I do this thing that Tony Robbins calls priming. So it's like, it's a breathing technique, and it's really an appreciation and gratitude for everything you have. And like, it's a manifestation effort. It's a lot of things all packed into one. And then I do everything. I do, you know, my boy Hal's Savers, you know, where it's like, you know, silence, which is meditation and affirmations and visualization. And you know it if you're a fan of Miracle Morning. But I do all those things, which typically, dude, honestly, and I don't know how to truncate this, it takes me about an hour to 2 hours now to do all of that, including exercise. So sometimes I go to the gym, I go for a bike ride, or I go for a run. So including all that, it could take typically 2 hours, 2.5 hours of that morning time. But then I'm ready, man. I'm primed and pumped to get the day started, opening emails at 9, 10 o'clock in the afternoon, in the morning when my day gets started. So I'm not grumpy. That was the problem, man, in corporate America. Like, I'd get up miserable, like fight through traffic, you know, eat some garbage on the way in just to work, you know, just all sorts of terrible things that the majority of us do. And then you wonder why you're unhappy, because you're putting garbage in your body. You're not sleeping right. You're going to bed at 2 a.m. because you're binging on Netflix. Then you wake up, you go to work, and there's other people who are the same. And then it's just vicious cycle. Ping pongs going back and forth. You're like, ah! So that's a cycle that I wanted to break out of.
It's a great cycle to break. I knew you were a brother from another mother. I do Hal Elrod Savers as well, a variation of it. I do a couple things. First off, just because me and Eric does it doesn't mean it's going to suit you, the listener. So do what's right for you. But wow, it's amazing that you've been able to kind of get out of that cycle. And I wish you were actually my brother, because you got the best genes ever. You said you're like, well, you said you're over 40. You look like you're like 35, Eric, dude. You look great.
I appreciate that, man. A friend of mine recently said, and I can't believe I never heard this. He was like, Asian don't raisin. he's like, we don't typically wrinkle until we're like 100 years old. I was like, Asian don't raisin. Never heard of that. It's hilarious.
I'm trying not to laugh too loud because I have a mic in my face and I can't move the mic because it's attached to my head. People who watch the video can see that, but no comment, dude. That's brilliant. So back to the story. So you leave corporate America. Why real estate?
I needed something new, man. Like, I didn't want to do what I was already doing because I had done it for over 20 years. So I was like, I need a refresh, a reset, a reboot, something, a challenge. And that was like the complete opposite. Not that I did that by design, but just because I wanted to fast forward wealth. Like, it was about the money at first, Ben. Like, I thought to myself, how do I make money and how do I make it fast? Mm-hmm. And it was either stocks, which we already, you know, participating and investing in, losses and win columns, you know, there. But real estate was something new. And as I started to dive deeper and deeper into it, I saw and recognized it as a viable option for us, and also a real thing. Because to me, it was always like, oh, that's what the Vanderbilts and the Trumps and the Rockefellers do. But as I started to go to more meetings, after I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad and set my mind right, all this stuff, I started to realize I can do this. And once I did it, I took a thought leadership sort of position within the local community. And then that's what built On Air Brands, because they all started to recognize me as somebody who stepped into the game, wet behind the ears, didn't know anything. And then in less than a year, I bought a multifamily building and started talking about it. And then I created a podcast, and I would do live broadcasts within our meetings. I was just doing all sorts of stuff that I was really jazzed and excited to do, like multimedia and content creation and personal branding and podcasting, like all that stuff I was doing while I was investing. So that's what built the company, man. You know, 3-4 years later, that's the majority of our clientele is real estate investors that need a podcast or brand or, you know, just all that stuff that we do.
And we'll talk about that in a minute and how you blow up those brands. I like how you mentioned, like, you took a thought leadership position. It doesn't sound like you said, hey, I want to be famous like Gaga. You actually did things that were elements of leadership and thought leadership. Were, like, you tell me, were you trying to be a thought leader or famous, or were you kind of just appointed a leader because you were doing interesting things and interesting people doing interesting things just find themselves in that role? What was your experience with that?
Yeah, more the latter. I mean, it was an exercise, definitely, because you know, my wife married me because, you know, I had a level of confidence that she admired. But you know, I had a fear just like everyone else, you know, that whole saying, I love Seinfeld saying that, you know, there's the two main fears in life are public speaking, number one, and death. And his saying is that means the person that's giving the eulogy would rather be the guy in the casket. So, that was me just like everyone else. I was afraid to speak, but this was an exercise for me and a challenge to get past the fear, because Tony Robbins always says, you know, what's behind fear is opportunity. So that's what I started to discover. As I started doing more of it, I started to gain more and more confidence. And the thing is, I didn't realize, and this is what I was afraid of when I was in corporate America, like doing presentations in front of big wig clients. Mm-hmm. That freaked me out, dude. I would be terrified. And the thing is, I had to learn that if you're confident and you know your shit, and you know what you're talking about, there's no reason to fear because it's all muscle memory. It's just you at the gym working out. And there's, you know, of course you're not going to know what you're doing at first, but the more and more you do it, it just becomes muscle memory. So that's what I started to realize. I'm just doing and I'm documenting the journey as Gary Vee told me to do. And as I started doing more and more of that, I realized that other people wanted to do that and they asked me how to do it. So I was more than happy to share information and experiences that I'm having that, you know, that they can leverage.
And I'm more than happy that you're doing it, Eric. What you're describing now, to me, I call it unconscious competence. If you were to look up like a ladder or steps to get there, there's unconsciously incompetent. That's when you just suck. A lot of times you think you're great, but you're unconsciously incompetent. Then there's consciously incompetent, like, ooh, I actually suck. Then there's consciously competent, where I believe in probably most facets in my life, I live in that consciously competence. I'm stuck in my head. I know how to do things, but it's not muscle memory. It's not a language. And what you're talking about is a confidence level and an understanding and a skill set, which lives in the unconscious competence, where all you need to do is show up as yourself and you're going to kick ass because of what you know. For people like me that kind of live in that conscious competence, or maybe they're consciously incompetent, what are some of the stuff that you recommend we do to get to that next level and eventually reach the unconscious competence?
For me, and for most people, I think, you know, it's okay to know a lot about everything, but I'm a big proponent of knowing a lot about one thing, right? Really diving into your superpower and focusing on that one freaking thing that lights you up and changes the world and sets you apart from everyone. So for me, that is building relationships. That's why I appreciate your brand, right? With connections, because it's like, that is where a lot of the magic happens. When you can connect people to other people, or you can connect yourself to the right people, and just all around, we as human beings, you know, we crave that. We need it, right? Even though we're in a virtual world like now, right now, and it's wonderful, this tool that we're using to connect, something next level happens when you meet and greet and shake hands and you hug people and you get to know their families. You take things to the next level. That to me is it goes beyond business, right? And it goes beyond anything that you can write down, because people want to work with people that they know, like, and trust. They want to do business with people that you know, like, and trust. They become family, basically. And that is huge in my book. And that is all that I strive for. And the magic word that people like to use now for that is community. And that, isn't that where it all comes from, right? Tribes, you know, villages, you know, mm-hmm. That's, if we go back to the basics of, you know, the start of man and humankind was, you know, we started in little villages and everybody piled in and did what they were great at, you know, whether it was fishing and hunting, or whether it was weaving, you know, whether it was whatever it was, you find what you're great at and do that for the tribe. And that's what we're doing now on a massive scale, a massive scale. So that is, I forgot your question, Ben, but I'm hoping that I can answer, because I feel like I'm rambling. But yeah, that's kind of where it all comes from for me.
What was my original question?
I don't remember, man, but we landed on community, which is always a good place.
And let's, so I'm going to pull out my pencil here. So everybody can pull out their pencil or their pen, and let's do something tangible, because we talked about some big concepts here. What if I'm thinking, let's just use an example here, rhetorical example. I am in a new state, just out of high school or just out of college in a brand new state. Nobody knows me. Nobody likes me. Nobody trusts me. What do I do? Everyone says know, like, and trust, build relationships. What if I'm really introverted or socially awkward? I know there's so many ways we could take this, but what would you recommend that person do to build know, like, and trust?
This is really hard for a lot of people, because I had to figure this out in real time and, you know, fumble along the way. But I would really challenge us to do this first, because I didn't do this first, is to work on yourself. Mm. Like, work on yourself and love yourself. It sounds corny, but legitimately, work on yourself and love yourself to the point where you don't need validation from the world for you to feel good about yourself. Because then when you do that, when you step into a conversation, you meet someone, it's coming from a good place, right? And whether they reject you or not, you're going to be okay, right? You're not going to go back home and chew on that, you know, them saying no to you, you know, for a week or two, right? Because then now that's not productive. It's not working and it's not serving you. So if you can work on yourself and your self-esteem and your confidence, then when you step to people, they're going to be able to feel the vibration of your confidence. And they're going to want more of that. So what attracted my wife to me and other, you know, people that I was dating when I was single was I was confident, right? And a lot of people love that and they want it for themselves. So then they like magnetically are attracted to that. Same thing goes for a business owner who's talking to a client. If you seem desperate and you've got commission breath because you need that sale, because it's going to fill a void in you and you're going to feel worthy, like all that crap, even though you're not saying it, they feel it. Mm-hmm. So if you can work on yourself so you don't give off those vibes that repel people, then that's gold. Like, if you've ever seen or heard of the show Undercover Billionaire, I love it. Like, love or hate him, he's polarizing. Grant Cardone in Undercover Billionaire, they literally give him $100 bill and a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And they drop it in the middle of like nowhere, Iowa or something like that. And he has no connections. He can't use his name. He has to wear a disguise. Starts from scratch. And you see what he does. You see how people who just have that gift, and you don't have to be born with it. It could be learned. It could be taught. But you land somewhere, like you said, and you just build relationships. And you come from a good place where you want to help people. I genuinely want to help you. Here's the value that I can provide into your life. And once you own that, and you work on your junk, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to be helpful for everyone.
Genuinely help people, confidence. So Grant Cardone, I've watched the first season of Undercover Billionaire. I haven't watched Cardone because to my knowledge, they postponed because of COVID. Is that correct? Did they finish it?
They started it. It was pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. You see it all documented and then it happens. And then they have to reset. And he's so upset about it. Really? He's like, dude, I'm building all these relationships and you're pulling me out of here. But and then he came back and he's still crushed, man. Like he went back to those relationships that he had established and he had to make up an excuse. You know, he's like, you know, I had to go back to my family. It was an emergency. And then I think like 3 months later, he went back and reignited all the stuff that he had done. But yeah, man, it's powerful and inspirational to see how it's done. And we're people, man. We're people working with people. And if you've got it and you've got the passion to just push through the fear, yeah, man, you could do whatever you want.
Anything you want. Dude, guys, show notes, Undercover Billionaire. Thank Eric when you love it. I hadn't watched it because I like to binge on things like that. And I knew that it was postponed. So I didn't watch any of it yet. So I'm going to go binge on that. We talked about confidence, energy, people. We're all people working with people. One note I took in the pre-interview, just like, you know, right before we clicked play, was on your show, some guests are boring AF. Your words, they're boring AF. So yeah, you come in, you're confident, you've worked on your inner crap, you still might be boring.
Yeah.
What in your opinion, like what makes a boring podcast interview? What are some of the don'ts for anyone who's looking to be on a podcast? You're just looking to be entertaining and dive deep with someone. What are some of the things that trigger you or just eh?
So it's all relative, right? It's all I can say boring AF, but you know, depending on the listener, you know, I know there's going to be someone that finds value in the conversation. It just doesn't happen to be me sometimes, right? It's just and typically I don't like to say yes to guests that I don't know personally or, you know, one degree of separation, you know, highly recommended from a friend or a business partner. Sometimes I will take guests from, we were talking about earlier, some podcast guesting services, and it'll look like someone that's interesting on paper. And I highly recommend, if you plan on guesting or hiring these podcast guesting services, have some video out there. It's so difficult to find people who want to get on shows with video, because it, to me, it's all about this. Like, how much energy are you bringing to the table? How are you delivering your message? Are you animated? You know, are you like me? I'm throwing my hands in the air. I go nuts. That
you're on fire, brother.
I love all the props, dude. It's awesome. The pencil, the fire. What else you got under the in the bag?
I've got blow up microphones, but they aren't blown up yet.
Those are awesome.
But a lot of people are listening to the audio and just have no clue why you're laughing at random times. I've got like crazy props. I actually learned it from Billy Jean, just to bring props into the play, man. So go on, brother.
You know, here's what's interesting. I have not heard of Billy Jean in so long. When I was I jumped into Ty Lopez's program, and all of a sudden Billy Jean's content was popping up all the time. I haven't seen it anymore. So I'm curious if Google is listening, because now if he starts popping up in my feed, I'm gonna text you and like, dude, they listening to us.
I'll DM you a video just to get the algorithm running.
No, don't do it. Because then I'll start buying his products.
I want to say one thing about Billy Jean. His ads crack me up. I love it because he'll quite literally say like, hey, listener, I am about to show you an ad, but this is about to be the coolest ad you've ever seen. Then like some explosion happens. But he opens with, this is an ad, similar to the automation. People don't want to just be pitched. And I know that it's an ad. So he goes, hey, guys, this is an ad, but I'm going to entertain you with it. So he makes his ads like entertaining, because we know we're being advertised to. But he also teaches how to make ads. So of course, hey, this isn't it. So yeah, dude, well, tangent, brother.
Yeah.
Plenty. I forget where I see so Ty Lopez. Where the heck were we?
I don't remember. Well, I said let's something talk about, in the fire. Yeah, yeah. We'll have to
let's talk about not boring guests. Let's talk about like what you love out of a podcast guest. Not the low energy, bad on video, looks great on paper. What are, you can use examples if you'd like, but what are some of the best guests, or what kind of qualities do they bring to the table on your podcast?
So people that actually know their shit, right? And not talk so much about like philosophies on things. You know, I like to tell stories. I haven't done that much here because we're riffing and we're having fun. But I like lessons learned through stories. If you're able to deliver that, like something happened to you. I had David Meltzer on one of our shows, and he delivered this heartfelt story. Like as soon as the mics and the cameras turned on, I was like crying. I was like, holy crap. Like and you know, I don't know if anyone here knows this saying, but like, it's not what you said on stage or a podcast. It's how you made them feel. Right? They're not going to remember all the tactics and the strategies that you shared with them. They're going to remember how they felt. So that's what I always try to deliver. You know, I do a talk, and spoiler alert here for anyone who may see it in the future, is I talk about the time I delivered my second born on the side of the road. And I do it through story, you know, and I'm running back and forth and I reenact it. And people don't remember anything that I talked about, podcasting, personal branding, or anything. Mm-hmm. They're just like, man, that story that you told when I saw you on stage. And that's what we do, man, is like, as content creators, as business owners, if you can make an indelible mark on people through a story, something real that happened to you that emotes and shows the hero's journey, the hero's arc of like, you know, the setup and the context and the color and all the descriptions, and you really paint a picture of them being in there with you. And then like the struggles that you had, you know, and then the eventual win and result, you know, like a Rocky story compressed into like 90 seconds. Then you're gold, man. It's really good.
I know we only have so much time. You can either tell that story, because I'm massively interested, or tell me where I can find that story, follow up with you. Maybe it already exists. Maybe there's an event, this or that. Like, either tell that story, because that's what I want you to do, or if it's too long and you don't want to give away all the sauce, where do I connect with you and learn more about it? Because, dude, you got us on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I have a video that I sent to friends and family, only because I'm waiting to pull the trigger on a really good video. And this is probably because I tell it multiple times at different stages, but there's only one where they actually captured it well, but not good enough, not what I imagined it to be, like a multi-camera thing. And but I have a full stage where I can run back and forth. But if you hit me up, man, I'll send you the link to it, and you can see me telling the story from the stage.
How do people hit you up? What's the best way to be connected with you?
Yeah, email is the best place. erik@onairbrands.com is the best place to reach me.
Perfect. And we,
or LinkedIn.
We went all over the place. I want to riff on On Air Brands for just a couple minutes. Like, what are you doing at On Air Brands? Who are you serving? Like, what? How can you help me or any of the listeners?
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. We launch podcasts. So typically anyone who's been chewing on the idea and like, you know, like you said earlier, analysis by paralysis, and like, oh, I'll do it then. When I figure out the mic, when I figure out the camera, whatever I'm going to. So we help with all that. We help you get through that, and we work with you on a strategic level for like 6 weeks to get the name of the show, the structure of the show. You know, is it going to be an interview style? Is it going to be a solo cast? Whatever it is, maybe it's a hybrid of the two. So we work on that with you, and then we launch it, right? We start with the end in mind, and we pick a launch date, and we work backwards. So from there, we just do weekly production. Of the podcast, whether it's audio or video. A lot of people like the audio and then all the social media content that we produce from every episode. So typically, you know, 9 or 10 assets are created. Assets meaning stories and reels and Facebook and LinkedIn posts. We do all the titling, we do all the marketing and the SEO and all that stuff to promote every single episode each week.
Wow.
Turnkey, just done for you. Like, you just upload. And then all that stuff gets done, and you look on your phone, you're like, oh shit, a new episode went out this week. And it's on all the socials, and all your friends are like, go to bed, Ben. And you're like, that's not me. That's my team. Mm-hmm. Team and On Air Brands doing that shit.
Yeah. But I feel like I need to work with you, but I'm too stubborn. I do a lot of this stuff myself. I like to have my hands at the wheel. Yeah. But dude, if anyone wants to start a podcast, connect with Eric, connect with me. I'll introduce you to Eric. Bro, I want to go into the rapid fire round. Short, sweet. It's like Whose Line Is It Anyway, mixed with Family Feud. Family Feud as where we want to keep it rapid. We want to keep it quick. But Whose Line Is It Anyway is that it's completely subjective to you and the points don't matter. So you're going to win the game regardless. So we will get started with coffee or tea.
Coffee all day, man.
Favorite?
Black
coffee. Yeah. Yeah. Favorite animal?
Say man's best friend, dog.
Dog. Favorite time of year, favorite season?
I love the transitionals. So fall is pretty good. I like spring, but yeah, fall definitely.
Social media platform. Where do you like to spend your time the most? I want to connect with you there.
Yeah, I would say Facebook just because I've been in it for so long, but I know it's most effective to use LinkedIn for business.
Let's do dream guest. So let's do dream guest, and there's two categories here. There's alive and there's dead. So we want dream guest alive that is going to be on your show one day, might be next week if I know him, and dead, the oh, if I only wished.
Yeah, I wish I had spoken to Steve Jobs before he passed. I mean, brilliant guy, you know, just changed our world with the iPhone, changed everything, literally, just put the internet and a supercomputer in our pockets. We were still going through like the Blackberries with all the keyboards, right? That's where it was all going until he broke the mold. Yeah. Alive, man. There's so many people, but I love talking to Gary. Gary just dropped so much wisdom. Gary V. Even though I was on his show, I'd love to just spend an hour with him on my show, and I get to ask the questions. You know, but he's definitely a get. You know, nowadays, because I think he's commanding upwards of like maybe 300K at this point, just to get him on your stage. So,
and he deserves
for podcasts.
Yeah. And he deserves it. Talk about an on-air brand.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we'll do one more because I know you've got like a sheet for podcast do's and don'ts. So, if you could wave a magic wand and podcasters just stopped doing something completely? What is like the biggest don't in the podcast industry?
I will say this is for content creation in general. It's podcasts included, but just everything. One of my pet peeves is when people talk on Instagram or Facebook or a podcast, they talk in generalities, like to everyone. Hey, so all of you listeners, or for hey, Facebook, or hey, YouTube, they speak to many versus speaking to one. So I highly recommend when you speak into the camera or the microphone, you think of one person that you're talking to, and that hopefully typically is your avatar, and you clearly speak to that person and you say, hi, I'm so glad you're here. I have something to share with you. And then you go on with what you're going to provide, you know, to them. So that's my one recommendation is speak to one versus many.
That's great advice. Not to digress, I'll keep it short. One of my favorite reggae musicians, his name's Jay Spaker. He's got a project called Double Tiger. And long story short, his go-to is he always says, all the people in the place, let me hear you say, yeah. All the people in the place. And it always makes me smile because people, check, place, check. You could be at a wedding, you could be at a funeral, you could be at the circus, you could be at a concert, you could be in your living room, and it's going to be people in the place. So talk about, don't say people in the place, speak directly to that target person who's listening to you that needs your help.
100%.
I digress, man. Tell us one more time, is there any way that, I've seen the podcast do's and don'ts. Is there any way people can get the podcast do's and don'ts?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. Eric, E-R-I-K, Cabral, CABARL.CO /guide. That's what it is. /guide. So EricCabral.CO/guide. And you can get a PDF of all the podcast do's and don'ts that I've collected over the years. And hopefully, you know, if it helps you, please hit me up and let me know.
Is that the best place for someone to start? If someone's not a podcaster, but they're an entrepreneur, again, tell us just how to connect with you as a whole and continue the conversation.
Yeah. Reach out to me, Eric@onairbrands.com, and we'll set up some time to chat.
Dude, brother, I'm happy we shot the shit for like 15 minutes before we started, but I regret it because I want another 45 with you. But I'm humbled, man, that you took the time. I know that the audience gained so much value from, and they're going to want to continue the conversation because your insight is incredible. And dude, I guess I might be on your show. So we'll continue 100%. The conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, guys, to be continued. We'll tell Ben's story on my show. So yeah, this is good, man. I'm glad to have met you and thank you for reaching out.
Thank you, brother. It's been fun. Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.